Well, I ask your prayers this evening if you look in the scriptures for a little bit. Now, thank God for His plan of salvation and what it means to all of humanity. I thank God for salvation, what it will do for us, and what God designed it to do for us, if we will allow it to work in our lives. That's a choice and decision that we have to make. We have to decide whether or not we're going to yield and submit our will to Him. This evening, I have a little burden. I believe I would entitle it Healing Waters. Healing Waters. I take this from a passage in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. It's a familiar passage. Prophet Ezekiel, I believe, was being given a vision of something way in the future. Something that was going to be a real benefit to mankind, and something that probably he wasn't even able to comprehend, but that the Holy Spirit visited him with this vision and he wrote it down under the inspiration of God and the Spirit. And I'm thankful for those old prophets and the way that they received visions from the Lord and were willing to put those things in writing. I'm thankful they've been preserved. I'm thankful that we see throughout the Word of God, Old Testament and New, a common thread. In the Old Testament, looking forward. In the New Testament, referencing back to some of the old and the prophecies that were there. And in the New Testament, continually looking forward. Those old prophets in the Old Testament were given things by God that were to come in the future. And while they may not have understood all that was there, it was a reference point for them. And it's a reference point for us to see that while God has established things in the New Covenant with us, we can look back and see in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, where His heart and His mind was to make available to us, to humanity, His real plan of salvation. So in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, we'll begin with the first verse. We'll read several verses here down through verse 12. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. This word altar would indicate to me that this is not just a dwelling place. It's the house of God. It's the temple. What the Lord was giving to Ezekiel was a vision of the temple and waters flowing out from the east, toward the east rather, from the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the utter gate. By the way, looketh eastward and said, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. He measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. Through the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. I thought of some experiences I've had when I was a youth. Right down here at this Chappapila Creek, we used to swim in that creek a lot. It was a very regular occurrence. We would go down there, especially after hauling hay on a hot summer day, and take a bar of soap with you down there, and we would clean up in Chappapila Creek. Some of the mothers might frown on that and say, how could you boys get clean in that water? If you've been hauling hay all day and you had that sticky hay on you and dust, mud stuck all over you, you looked pretty clean when you came out of there after a bar of soap rubbed on you a while. It felt good. But what I remember as a boy, when, oh, it's been so many years ago, the community, especially the Joyner community just up the highway here, used to go down to that creek and they would work the beaches on both sides. They would rake, clean up, keep it clean, and it was really, really nice. You didn't have all the growth and underbrush that you see down there now. It was kept up so neat and clean. The sand was clean, white. Rope hanging in the tree with a little platform on it. You could swing off the rope and dive into the deep part of the creek there off of that rope. There was water to swim in. And we did our best to splash it dry as boys. We never did. But I remember going to the creek, and it's cold water, especially for this area. And many times you would go down there after being so hot in the field, and you'd step into the water, and now you say, that's cold. Maybe splash a little bit on you. Well, that just wasn't going to work. The only way that you were going to get acclimated to that was to plunge in. You just had to plunge into it and get it over with and be done, and then you were acclimated to the water. You might come up with your teeth chattering for a minute, and sometimes we'd swim long enough, our lips might turn a little blue. It's not like some waters much farther north of here is cold, but it was pretty cool for this area. But I remember going to that beach, this side, the west side, walking down the little trail that took you to the shore. And I remember how you could walk out there a little ways and water to your ankles, water to your knees, water to your hips, and then just deep water. Swim across to the other side where it started to come up the other bank. I thought of that as I was reading this passage today. I thought of how pleasant it was, and I thought of the time that we could play in that shallow water as boys, and we didn't know how to swim yet. We could splash around and play in that shallow water and enjoy the cold, cool water. And I've seen many a boy go down to that creek. I've taken my own brothers down there when they were just boys growing up at home, and we'd go down there to play around. And my mother didn't always know this, and I'm telling on myself, she knows it now, but we'd take them down there and they'd always have their life jackets on when they left the house. And by the time we got to the water's edge, we'd leave the jackets on for a little bit, throw them out in the water, let them get to feel the buoyancy of the jacket. But it wasn't long we'd take those life jackets off and throw them out in water. It was about hip deep. And they learned how to swim. If you're going to really get into the things of God, playing around the edges, is it going to get you where you need to be? If you're really going to get into what the essence of God and the Word of God really is, we've got to be willing to wait on out. We've got to be willing to do what it takes to get out there and be willing to plunge into it. We played games in that water. We played alligator. Alligator would swim underwater, and one boy was it. One boy was the alligator, and everybody else was trying to stay away from the alligator. You know, it would be surprising after you spend some time swimming and swimming underwater quite a bit, and when you'd been hauling hay for months, you've been hauling hay for a few years, it's amazing how physically fit you could become. It's amazing how long you could swim underwater and hold your breath. And we'd play those kinds of games. We'd play alligator where one guy was it and he's trying to find somebody and tag them and make them the alligator and he gets away. Run down the creek bank, run over logs, jump off of a log, swing off the rope. Do everything you could to stay away from the alligator. But that whole time we're playing that game, folks, we're not just splashing around the edge. You're out in the water where you're swimming. Out in the water where it's deep enough where if the alligator comes towards you, you can whoop, slip under the water and hide. If you get up on the beach, there's a lot of boys could outrun me. And I was dead meat, so to speak, if one of them was the alligator and I was on the beach. Because I couldn't run as fast. But in the water, you could hold your own. Those are the things I believe the Lord wants us to see in this type of little situation here where He's the prophet Ezekiel, the Lord giving him a vision. He brought me to the house and I looked and flowing out of the house was a river of water. The stream of water and it was flowing from the altar. And from the altar, as I first noticed it, out to 1,000 cubits, it was just to my ankles. And while that was good and refreshing to feel and wade around in, went out another 1,000 and it was up to my knees. Went out another 1,000, it was up to my loins. Went out another 1,000, and it was deep enough I couldn't wade it anymore. I had to make a decision to sink or swim. I had to make a decision. I'm going to either turn around and go back where I've been used to splashing around the edge where I feel secure, or I'm going to go on out and wade, get on out into this thing and enjoy what the Lord has for me. I believe that's what the prophet Ezekiel had. And when we were boys and went swimming down here in this creek, we found out that if you're going to really enjoy it, the best thing for you to do, instead of standing around the edge and tipping a toe in there, is to come running down that trail and just kasploosh, head first, dive into that water and be done with it and enjoy it from there on. Now, He said to me in verse 6, "Son of man, hast thou seen this?" Then He brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said He unto me, "These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth unto the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh." Doesn't that sound beautiful, folks? Everywhere that the gospel message goes, and everywhere that it is accepted and received, there is healing. Here it is likened unto water issuing out from under the throne, from the altar of the Lord. And it says, wherever this water goes, there will be life. Wherever this water goes, there will be healing. Wherever this water goes, there's going to be trees. There's going to be growth. There's going to be the ability to sustain life. Thank God, folks, that God has made a plan of salvation that is just like this. Wherever it goes, wherever it is received, wherever it is accepted, it brings forth the change in the heart of the individual. "It shall come to pass," verse 10, "that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eneglim. There shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many." Do you know, folks, that you and I are these fish? We are the fish. Those who have gone before us and preached to us and have, through the anointing of the Spirit of God and the convicting power of His Holy Spirit, reaching out through the waters that are issuing out from the altar, from the throne of God, wherever that water goes, it has the ability to heal. And there are those who are casting their nets, the fishers, the ministry of God, reaching out, trying to portray and give and expound and explain and offer and invite. Thank God, folks, that we have had those before us that have proclaimed the gospel message to us, have proclaimed truth to us, so that we could be caught in the nets of the fishers. It's not going to happen because you're just trapped, but it's because there is hope and there is healing. And they had a job to do, and they went out and did their job. They went out and proclaimed the message of the gospel, fishing. What did the Lord Jesus say to His disciples? Come after Me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus was referring back to a passage like this in the book of Ezekiel. He's the water. You come to Me, and I'll make you fishers of men. All right? Verse 11. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes, or marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. There are those who won't accept the fresh water of the gospel. They'll be close enough that the ground is moist and wet. But you know what happens in areas, I could take you just a few miles south of here to the area of Manshak, Rudok, and I could show you where there has been salt water incursion over the years and how that it has beaten back the vegetation, caused it to be killed because it's brackish, partially salt water. Do you know, do most of you or do any of you remember where the lighthouse used to stand at Manshak? Did you even know there was one there? I remember seeing it. I remember as a boy, the lighthouse standing there at Manshak. It's no longer there. Because over the time, over years, there's been things that's changed. Salt water here, erosion there, and it's no longer there. But there are things that you and I must do in order to keep ourselves from becoming the marshy places, the miry places, and turning to salt. Stay close to the river. Stay close to the water. Close enough to it so that these things don't encroach upon you. Because if we don't put ourselves in the place to have the river of life sweeping over us, then we put ourselves in jeopardy. Now verse 12. And by the river, upon their bank thereof, on this side and on that side. To me, this is, as I was reading this, this is a beautiful little passage. By the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters, they issued out of the sanctuary, and their fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. What are those things supposed to do? The food, the meat there was for sustaining. The medicine was for the healing. It was something about these trees on either side of the bank, this side and the other side, that was for meat and for healing, for medicine, to fix those things that ailed the people. I want to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. The passage is very similar to this, beginning with verse 1. This is what John the Revelator saw. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. Now notice it says in the midst and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Why no more curse? Because the healing waters are issued forth. Thank God, folks, today you and I can have the healing waters of salvation plan of God rolling over us, giving us healing. Now I want us to notice this. Either side of the river. When the children of Israel came to the banks of the Jordan, they had to make a decision to cross from one side to the other. They had been in the land of the wilderness, and now they were about to be led by Joshua across the Jordan into the land of Canaan. From one side to the other. I'd like for us to consider this evening. What we enjoy now through God's plan of salvation, and this river, if you will, in Ezekiel and here in Revelation, the river being the divider between life here and eternal life in the world to come. There was a tree of life on this side for hope now. For hope now that I can attain. For hope now that we have access to it. And while those in the future who had the tree on the other side of the river, the Scripture tells us in Ezekiel and here, on both sides of the river was a tree of life. What a beautiful thing to have it on this side and to have it on the other side, because those in that other world are preserved by that same tree. The salvation plan. The healing, the medicine, that thing that would make whole. We enjoy it here on time's side, and we enjoy the benefits and the fruits of it on the eternal side. What a beautiful description we have here in the Scriptures of the tree of the life of water of the river on both sides of this river. There are trees of life, and thank God, folks, we partake of it here, and we can enjoy the benefits of it afterward. Now, many years ago, again, when I was in my teens, I went to school with a man, young man named Kevin. And his father was a caretaker in Z. Murray Gardens. And I had a privilege of riding around through that big area. There's roads and trails all over those woods. I could go back there with him on my motorcycle, and they had a Jeep, and we'd ride all over that area in the Jeep. There is a lake that is called Spring Lake inside Z. Murray Gardens. They had a flatboat, and we were able to take that flatboat and launch it out into Spring Lake in Z. Murray Gardens. I'm going to tell you, that was the most beautiful water I have ever seen in the state of Louisiana. It was deep, it was cold, and you could see in places where springs bubbled up in that lake. And the water was so clear, undisturbed, you could see down a long ways. You could see columns of, I guess it was an algae that was growing from the bottom. You could see columns of that as you're paddling along. And I thought of those things today. What a beautiful picture that was. It's been in my mind. I've gone back and I haven't been in there in years and years and years. Haven't been to that spot. It'd take a while to even find it. But I remember paddling around in that lake, Spring Lake. There's Chappapila Lake, Mirror Lake, Dogwood Lake, inside Z. Murray Gardens. But I remember Spring Lake. It really stands out to me. It was so beautiful. I don't know if Chappapila Creek ran through it. I don't remember. Maybe it did. Maybe it still does. But I do know this. That water was crystal clear. The water that issues out from under the throne of God is absolutely pure, crystal clear. And it has the ability to make healing wherever it goes. Wherever it issues, it has the ability to heal, to change, and transform. I thank God that He loved us enough to make a plan of salvation that wherever this water would roll and wherever it would flow, if we would put ourselves in the path of it, we could be healed and we could partake of the tree of life and we could have life, 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 life evermore. Here we can have abundant life, and we can have life evermore on the other side, because the tree of life is on either side of the river. And they never quit bearing their fruits. Every month out of the year, there's something to partake of. No dry times, no drought times, no famine times. There's always something available. Thank God for the provision in His plan of salvation. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. God bless each one. You pray for me. Amen.